November is the month for Thanksgiving, and because we are in that month of Thanksgiving, we are moving into a series now between now and the end of the month of talking about how it is that we can grow in our gratitude, how it is that and what difference that would make for us and for the world around us. The idea of how it is that we can begin to reshape the way we see and the way we think, and how that then affects us through this thing called Thanksgiving. I entitled the series, What Can Thanks Do For You? Simply because I want to talk a little bit about what it means for us to be a thankful people, but what change begins to happen and affect within us as we begin to grow in this thing called thanks. As Dee read for us earlier today, the invitation out of Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever, are the words of the psalm. We hear those words, and I want to ask why. Why does God invite us in his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise to give thanks to him and praise his name? Why is it? Because he's starving for our attention? Is it because God needs to feel appreciated? You know, I know people who are like that, don't you? That there's a sense that they will do a kind gift, but if a kind turn, but if they don't get thanked, they feel somehow they've been slighted, and somehow now they're not going to do a nice turn anymore because they didn't get thanked the previous time. Now, that's not the way it is with God, however. And the reason he invites us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise is because he has made us in a specific way that we, you and I, are somehow set free through the act of giving thanks. Now, that may sound a little counterintuitive, but it's true because it's just how we were made as human beings. A long, long time ago, a fellow by the name of Cicero, real smart fellow, came up with this idea, and I think it is very, very true, that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but it is the parent of all others. What he's talking about is how, as we begin to nurture this thing called gratitude within us, that we begin to find that it does shape us, and it actually unlocks so many other things within us. People today, thinkers of today, everyone from Dr. Phil to Oprah are talking about, raving about the power of thanksgiving, as if there's something within just simply thanksgiving, and there is. Because of the way God has made us, part of our human condition is intended to be unlocked. Another one of those thinkers today, Skip Pritchard, actually did a list in one of his books recently of some of the benefits of thanksgiving. I've only listed 7. He has a whole long list. But here are some of them. That if you give thanks, you will decrease your blood pressure. How about that? Anyone need that? How about this? That if you do that, you will increase your sleep quality. Benefit. Reduce depression, improve your self-esteem, become more likable. I'm going to talk to a lot of my friends about this one. You need to maybe be a little more thankful. Being thankful can reduce negative emotions such as envy, hatred, and anger, and it can increase positive emotions such as love and empathy. Now, you might agree with me, or you might disagree with me, but the research shows that these are all positive effects that come out of an individual who chooses to be thankful, as opposed to those who make Thanksgiving not a part, but an irregular part of their existence. The Bible goes on. It's not just these modern thinkers who've come up with this through research or what have you, but this is something, and it's not just these modern writers who write books about things thinking they've discovered some new secret, when this has been written through the scriptures for over 2,000 years, that it says that there is something that unlocks inside the human being when we take time to give thanks. That's why days like Veterans Day is important, whether we realize it or not, because it causes us to get outside of ourselves to thank those around us who've done something, whether they did it intentionally for us or not, but it causes us to get out of ourselves to give them thanks. That's why days like Thanksgiving are important, though they only come once a year, to be reminded of all that we have to be thankful for and begin to maybe keep us in that attitude of thinking about all the things that God has done for us. There is something with us as humans that gets unlocked when we remain in thankful mode. But we don't remain in thankful mode, do we? There's another part of what it means to be human, is that it means that we tend to take things for granted. We may be thankful on that day when the result comes back as positive. We may be thankful on that day when we get that promotion at work. We may be thankful on that day when things go well within my family. But within a day or two or three, we kind of begin to unwind out of that, and we begin to take things for granted once again. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, and I think it's probably true for most all of us, that we tend to take all the gifts and pleasures and happiness and the joy without saying much to God. We take our health and our strength, our food, our clothing, and our loved ones all for granted. But the moment anything goes wrong, we start grumbling and complaining. And we say, why should God do this to me? And why should this happen to me? We are slow. How slow are we to thank, and how swift are we to grumble? That's not pointing a finger at anyone in particular. That's simply pointing a finger at all of us in general. That we tend to see, we tend to note, it is that which goes wrong that gets our attention, even if most everything else is going right. There is something in us that tends to overlook the joy of what God is doing because there is something in my life which is amiss. And the more that I keep my focus on that thing which is amiss, the dimmer and the darker my life begins to appear to me. I look around and maybe I see others who seem to have things better. I look on my Facebook and I see people who are enjoying great vacations. I look at my home and I see someone else has got a nicer home. I look at my car and I see someone who's got a nicer car. I look at my whatever it is and you say, but their life seems to be better than mine. And all of a sudden, my life doesn't seem to look so good anymore. We take things for granted and our world becomes smaller and our world becomes darker. And we can begin to break that cycle if we begin to move towards thanksgiving. There's a scripture we're going to take a look at today. This comes out of Luke 17. This is a story when Jesus is walking along the road. He is going along a path, and he runs across a group of people, says 10 of them. These are people who are afflicted with a disease called leprosy. In Luke 17, it tells a story. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Now, clearly, Jesus' reputation had gone before him. These 10 people knew that he had something that he could do for them, even though they were living on the outskirts of society. Notice how Luke sets up this story. He tells us that they are out here on the border between Samaria and Galilee, kind of in no man's land. They weren't in a town someplace. They weren't in a village somewhere. They were out in the middle of nowhere because that's where they had to go. Leprosy in that day and age was a very contagious and very fearful disease. I mean, we have diseases today which are fearful. We don't want to have that word come back. Oh, you've got cancer or what have you. But none are quite like this, because there was something, and not only did this become a death sentence for there was no real cure for it, but also it became an isolation sentence, because all your family, friends, your associations, anyone in that you hung out with would no longer be able to be associated with you. Once you got leprosy, you were then cast out of the society and had to move out onto the periphery, only with those who also suffered from the same malady could be with you. And so these 10 call out to Jesus as he's walking by. From a distance, again, they don't come up close because they knew better than to come up close because they weren't allowed to come up close to regular human folk any longer. Jesus, Master, have pity on us. So when Jesus saw them, he said, go and show yourself to the priest, which is an interesting thing to say because they're not to go to anybody else, but he says, go and show yourself to the priests. And as they go, they are all cleansed. So they are healed. Jesus does an incredible miracle here in Luke 17 of setting these people free, not only of their physical disease that they had, but also of the social being excluded that they had been feeling. There is a sense of now being a possibility, being re-embraced into society, being returning to their families, being going back to normalcy. And all this is an amazing healing, but that's not Luke's point in telling us the story. In fact, he kind of jumps right over it, because Luke's main point of the story is coming next. As the 10 of them go off, they are all cleansed. But then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Now, he was a Samaritan. More on that on another day. That's an interesting little throw-in that Luke drops in here. But he came back to thank him. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Now, that's an interesting question, isn't it? Here's the man who comes back to give thanks to Jesus for the healing that he has just received. But Jesus notes that there are 9 others who did not return and say thanks. It's easy for us to wonder why. Why wouldn't those 9 come back? If they were all healed, why didn't they all come back and say thanks? And it's easy for us also to begin to say, I can understand that. Maybe if you had just been given, had this death sentence removed from you, would your first impulse be to run back to Jesus to thank him? Or would your first impulse be to run back to your family who you thought you would never see again? Or run back to your community that you thought you would never be able to interact with again? You know, there's a lot of mixing of emotions that could be going on here for these 9. Before we criticize them too harshly, I want to say how easy it is for us to receive some blessing and move on very fast, that we go on to the next thing so quickly, that maybe we move before we get a chance to stop and say thanks. But the one who came back, and this is our point, this is Luke's point for us, has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner, he said. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. We have a story of 10 who are healed, but only one who is made well. That the power of God to restore this life is extended to all. But to this one individual, something different has happened. He is, according to Jesus, been made well. What is it that is different between him and the other 9 that now we say he is well? Is that he has begun to practice something so significant that it will unlock more for him, and that is this power of thanksgiving. The only thing that this guy does different than the other 9 is that he returns to say what? Thank you. And because he returns to say thank you, Jesus notes that his faith has now made him well. There is power in thank you. There is something that changes not just the way we see the world, but something that changes us within that world. Your faith has made you well. You have now been changed. The hard part for us is to remain in that place of thankfulness, isn't it? It's one thing today to applaud our veterans. It's another thing throughout this week maybe to reach out to someone who has served and give them thanks, maybe specifically, maybe individually. Maybe it's another thing to extend to find someone who maybe is just doing their job and you had a chance to express your thanks to them, appreciation for what they're doing. There is something about writing a note of thanks to someone else, not only because it does something for them, but because it does something for us. I mean, let's be honest. Does most of our time and attention during the week focus around the things we're thankful for? Or is it things we have to do? Things that we wish had been done? Things that we want to take place? No, it's all about those other things that we're looking for ways to hopefully things come more our way. But when we pause and begin to say, I am going to choose instead to be thankful, it begins to redo how we do life. And again, the scriptures are full of this. We'll look at this in the next few weeks. We'll look at other ways that God begins to open up, not just releasing joy through this act of thanksgiving that we see here, but we'll be looking at things about how he releases this anxiety that so many of us live and suffer under because of thanksgiving. We'll be looking at how he begins to define our purpose because of the way that he, by opening that up through this thanksgiving, we'll look at a number of things that come our way. What can thanks do for you is going to be our theme, and it's going to be kind of the key piece. So to begin today, I want to start it off. We're going to start with a challenge I would invite you to take. In your bulletin, it says the 21-day challenge of gratitude. And I want to suggest to you trying this. And this is not difficult. This is not rocket science. It's not hard because all of us have many things that we can be thankful for, but we just don't tend to keep our focus there. And 21 days, because that's going to run us through the end of November, but also 21 days, they say that if you do something for 21 days, you begin to set a habit in place. So my challenge to you is to be more thankful in the course of these 21 days. And I want to suggest to you something simple as taking notes. Select a notepad or a journal or a post-it note or whatever form you want to take it. Maybe even use it on your phone. Find your memo pad on your phone. And each day, write one thing. Just write one thing that you are thankful for. It could be a person, it could be an event which happened, it could be something that you ran across, whatever it might be. And then after you've written it down, just take a brief moment to offer a prayer of thanks for that person, that event, that aspect of God's care and love for you, whatever it might be. And then go on about your day with that note of thanks in the back of your mind. Now the next day, look at what you wrote yesterday, and repeat it, write something new today, and offer a prayer of thanks for that one thing. Kind of keep that one thing in the back of your mind, that note of thanks, throughout the day. Do this for the rest of the month, and again, we'll begin to set a habit in place, that we'll begin to see there is something new in the way that we even process our thoughts, that we'll begin to see something happening for us which will help us overcome those things that tend to often cripple us. When we begin to get a posture of thankfulness in place, we'll begin to find that contentment begins to follow. I know we're looking for contentment, we're looking for peace. We'll talk more about that in the weeks ahead. We'll find that anxiety will diminish. We'll also talk about that in the weeks ahead, how things go as we begin to be more a thankful people. Frustration will become abated. Grace will flow more readily as we give thanks more consistently. We will no longer be crippled by stress or overwhelmed by these worries. We will be set free to be more productive. It will be an amazing journey if we will join me on this 21-day journey. So if you'd be willing to take this 21-day challenge, you will notice in your bulletin there's a little place that says, what does it say? It says something like, oh, I accept the 21-day gratitude challenge. Now, if you would like to no longer be crippled by stress or overwhelmed by worries, to be set free, to be more productive, I want to challenge you to say, yes, I accept the challenge. And I will start today by offering thanks for just one thing in offering prayer and moving on to the next day and the next day and the next day. And see if, in fact, this truth that your faith has made you well would not be a truth that comes to us as well. Now, maybe you say, this sounds kind of hokey. I don't think it's really very true. You know, maybe, John, yours is just a nice idea, something out of Oprah's library. No, but this is God's word for us. In fact, I want to close with this idea. It says that we are to rejoice always, to pray continually, to give thanks in all circumstances. And guess what? It's not just because it's a good idea. It's not because it's pop psychology. Why are we to give thanks in all circumstances? Because it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus to give thanks in all circumstances. Paul says this in Thessalonians 5, reminding us that this is the key for us in our human condition that gets so broken by the world around us, broken by the circumstances here in our lives, but that God says in all circumstances we are to give thanks. Not maybe thanks for all circumstances, but in the midst of all circumstances to give thanks. One of the things I want to say, I want a couple things about giving thanks. This is important. This was our team that went to San Francisco yesterday. Where's any of them here today? I know I saw Jose, I saw Elijah, I saw Marcy. I know we got at least one of them. I know at least Amanda's over in the nursery serving. This was our team of 15. You can see most of them. Some are hiding. But I want to say thanks to Jose and Maggie for taking our youth to give them an experience to serve others. I want to say thanks to our youth group for going on our behalf to be the hands and feet of Jesus. They did mostly food ministry, carrying food into people who didn't have food in the Tenderloin area of San Francisco. I want to say thanks to Marcy. There you are. Because Marcy's not one of our youth group. Well, I guess you are now. I guess you are now. Yeah, okay. And she's not part of our youth leadership generally, but she went because, guess what? We had a need for someone who was willing to help. If Marcy doesn't go, not all of our kids can go. And so, Marcy, for your going, not just for what you did there, and not just for what happened to you, I want to say thank you for making this opportunity available to some of these kids, because this can be life-changing. Service can be life-changing, but as can being thankful. And I want to say thanks. This is a great opportunity. But I want you all to know that there are people in our midst who are serving. Let's just be appreciative of what we're doing and be a part of making this world a better place. We're going to close with a great song about being thankful in just a moment. But let's take a moment just to give God our attention. So, Lord, it is you we look to. We give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for this life you've given us. We give you thanks even in the midst of all of our circumstances. Not everything goes the way we would like. Many things that we have to simply release and trust to you. But even in that, we thank you that you are there for us to release them too. And you are good. And that goodness continues through all generations. And we thank you that we can come and rest in you. God, give us the grace to see the many blessings simply of your love, of your provision, of your care. To see the blessings of those around us, of those who care for us, those whom we serve, or those that we have the privilege of serving. Those whom we love or those that we have the privilege of loving. Father, we ask that you would continue to meet us in this place, raise our awareness, and deepen our gratefulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.